Usually when you think about a crisis, you picture an explosion, like a sudden dramatic break where everything just falls apart all at once.
Right, like total chaos.
Exactly. But if you've ever used a pressure cooker, you know that the most dangerous phase, it actually isn't the explosion, it's the compression.
Yeah, the build up.
Right. It's when the heat is rising, the steam has literally nowhere to go, and the system just sits there holding this impossible amount of tension. I mean, it looks stable from the outside, but inside, the only things that survive are the elements that can adapt faster than the pressure builds.
That's a really good way to frame it.
And today, we are looking at a system in maximum compression. I mean, from 2,000 ships trapped in the Strait of Hormuz to the sudden, really quiet emptying of Western gold vaults, we are diving into the structural reality beneath this week's headlines.
And, the ultimate symptom of that compression is what the source material calls controlled instability.
Controlled instability.
Yeah. The global system, it can handle a massive amount of tension, but it cannot handle a disruption in flow. Like the moment the movement of physical goods or capital or information is choked off,
The whole thing freezes.
exactly, the structural integrity of that pressure cooker is just completely compromised.
Which brings us to why we are here today. So, welcome to this deep dive audio review of the Great Awakening Reports, specifically the Awakening, the Sleeping Giant Weekly Report for the week of May 11th, 2026.
A very heavy week.
Oh, incredibly heavy. But the Great Awakening Report team, they really enjoy developing these audio reviews for you, our subscribers, to help unpack this incredibly dense information.
Because there's a lot to sort through.
There is. And our mission today is to explore the signals, the patterns, and the threads that are actually shaping our world right now. And we are bypassing the mainstream news entirely for this.
You really have to.
You do, because to understand this level of structural shift, you cannot rely on surface-level broadcasting. You need to look deeper.
Yeah, and we are pulling from a literal intelligence-style briefing today. So the topics are, well, they're heavy. I mean, we're looking at military standoffs, massive financial resets,
Declassified technology.
right, even declassified technology. But the goal throughout this deep dive is to remain upbeat, to
Yeah.
stay focused and keep you oriented through a lot of very complex data.
Okay, so let's unpack this idea of flow. Let's start by looking at the most obvious place where the global circulatory system is experiencing a massive clot, which is the Strait of Hormuz.
Yeah, the physical choke point.
Exactly. We are way past diplomatic friction at this point. The report notes that the Pakistan-mediated talks have completely failed.
Right, they've collapsed.
So diplomacy is basically just a stalling tactic now, and we are looking at active maritime conflict.
Yeah, we're seeing a transition from a tense standoff to a physical barricade. The briefing details what the U.S. is calling Project Freedom,
Project Freedom, right.
which involves U.S. forces actively escorting neutral ships through the strait. But I mean, it is far from a peaceful escort.
No, not at all.
The report notes that U.S. forces are actively intercepting Iranian cruise missiles and drones, and they actually destroyed 8 fast attack boats just this week.
Wow.
Yeah, and Iran is countering by threatening U.S. bases and actively striking a UAE oil terminal.
And the physical toll of this choke point is just staggering. I mean, you have 2,000 ships currently trapped in the Persian Gulf,
2,000.
2,000, which represents roughly 20,000 stranded sailors.
That's a small city of people just stuck on the water.
Literally.
Yeah.
But if you want to see how fragile this flow really is, you don't even look at oil prices. You look at a grocery store in New Delhi.
Right, the soda shortage.
Yes. Right now, there's a shortage of Diet Coke in India, and the reason why traces directly back to this maritime conflict.
It sounds totally absurd on the surface,
That does.
but it perfectly illustrates the mechanism of global supply chains.
So here is the puzzle, right? The Middle East produces about 9% of the world's aluminum.
Okay.
And Iran's Revolutionary Guard launched drone strikes on the Al Tawila plant in Abu Dhabi.
Right. That single strike effectively shut down a massive chunk of global aluminum production. And India only sells Diet Coke in aluminum cans.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So the cans disappear, the drink disappears, and now Gen Z in New Delhi are throwing these sold-out exclusive Diet Coke parties. Because a common soda has literally overnight become a scarce luxury item.
A drone strike in Abu Dhabi empties a shelf in New Delhi.
Exactly.
I mean, that is the vulnerability of a hyper-connected system. And the report pairs that international bottleneck with severe domestic pressures inside the United States, too. creating this squeeze on both ends.
Oh, we are definitely feeling that domestic squeeze. I mean, the U.S. is currently facing its driest first 3 months in 131 years.
A literal mega drought.
A mega drought. The winter wheat crops in Oklahoma and Kansas are just decimated. Beef prices are soaring because the U.S. cattle herd has dropped to its lowest level since 1951.
1951, that's incredible.
It is. And on top of the cost of food, the report highlights this devastating breakdown of wage stagnation. They profile a worker who put in an 85-hour week.
85 hours? Yes. And after taxes, healthcare, and mandatory deductions, this worker took home just $163.02.
Wow. I mean, when you combine agricultural collapse with inflation and wages that mathematically just cannot support survival, you have a completely exhausted populace.
Right.
Meanwhile, from a geopolitical standpoint, the briefing outlines a really fascinating calculus on Iran's part.
Okay, let's hear it.
They are willing to provoke Project Freedom because they believe they have already won.
Wait, won how?
By taking the global economy hostage via the Strait, they feel like they dictate the terms now. They're demanding a new regional order, they're flatly refusing to give up their enriched uranium, and they're refusing to cede control of the Strait.
But the report suggests this surface-level naval conflict, it's actually a smokescreen.
Right.
Like the missiles, the blocked ships, the diplomatic posturing, it is all covering up a hidden architecture. We are moving from the flow of oil and cargo to the flow of sovereign gold.
And this is where the structural reality in these documents sharply diverges from what you will hear on the evening news. We always have to remember, we're just reporting what the sources claim here.
Right, we're just conveying the briefing.
Exactly. So the sources claim that the conflict in the Strait is essentially serving as a massive cover to secure a maritime corridor.
Hmm.
They refer to this as the Gold Line.
The Gold Line.
Yeah, it's a protected route for the transfer of sovereign gold moving east.
And the logistics of this are wild. France quietly pulled all 129 tons of its gold out of the Federal Reserve Vault in New York.
That is massive.
It's $15 billion worth of physical bullion. And India repatriated 104 tons. I mean, think about the sheer physical effort required to securely transport hundreds of tons of gold across the planet.
You don't do that on a whim.
You really don't. And at the exact same time, China activated an unprecedented anti-sanctions law.
Right. And that law is a critical piece of the machinery here.
Yeah.
On paper, it formally mandates that Chinese citizens and firms ignore all U.S. sanctions on Iranian oil. But the report argues that oil is secondary. If you are building a parallel global financial system, you cannot have your institutions complying with Federal Reserve jurisdiction or, you know, U.S. Treasury threats.
Right. That makes sense.
So triggering that law was a necessary legal mechanism to build a new financial rail that operates completely outside the dollar.
Which brings us to the timeline. And this is where it gets incredibly specific.
Yeah, the dates.
The sources point to May 14th as the date for a multilateral settlement protocol locking in Beijing, with Iran's foreign minister already on site making the arrangements.
Wow.
And then May 15th is slated for the activation of a new quantum-verified gold-backed ledger. So let me ask you, if France, India, and Germany are all showing up to the New York Federal Reserve with moving trucks at the exact same time, we aren't just looking at financial diversification, are we? I mean, this reads like an evacuation before a change in management.
If we follow the logic laid out in the report, it absolutely is an evacuation of the legacy system. China and the U.S. aren't just engaging in a trade war. They are operating in a parallel transition.
Okay.
They are effectively building two halves of a new financial bridge. The physical gold is being repositioned globally to anchor a new system entirely, which is referred to in the documents as the Quantum Financial System, or QFS.
Wait, I need to stop you there.
Sure.
A quantum financial system doesn't just download from the cloud overnight. You can't run something like that on our current banking infrastructure. And this brings us to the most mind-bending part of the deep dive.
Yeah, the technology aspect.
Exactly. The sources claim that to understand how the QFS actually works, we have to look at 162 classified UAP unidentified aerial phenomena files that were just declassified by the Pentagon.
Right.
If I'm listening to this, I'm thinking, what do unidentified craft have to do with my bank account? How does the report connect those dots?
It requires a massive paradigm shift.
Yeah.
And again, for clarity, we are impartially reporting the claims made in these intelligence briefs.
Right.
We are looking at how the source material tightly weaves these seemingly unrelated concepts together. So the current financial system, SWIFT, it relies on centralized clearinghouses and legacy encryption.
Which is pretty slow and hackable.
Exactly. A quantum ledger requires instant, simultaneous verification across millions of nodes without a central authority. And it uses encryption that traditional computers cannot break.
Okay.
The report claims the encryption and computational power required for the QFS was actually reverse engineered from non-human technology.
And the claims are highly specific. I mean, we aren't talking about blurry photos in the sky. You have sitting Congressman Eric Burleson confirming that the U.S. military controls a massive unidentified craft at a foreign site.
Right.
He stated it is so massive they couldn't even move it. They literally had to build the containment facility around the craft itself.
That's a huge claim.
It is. And the briefing explicitly links the May 14th Pentagon ARO file release to the May 15th activation of the QFS.
Because the overarching argument here is about the foundation of global power.
Yeah.
For 80 years, the secrecy wasn't necessarily about hiding the existence of extraterrestrials.
Right.
It was about suppressing the physics. The global economic model is based entirely on the scarcity of resources, primarily oil, and the mechanics of debt.
Right. If things are scarce, you can charge for them.
Exactly. So if you introduce propulsion systems that defy gravity and generate limitless free energy, you instantly collapse the old economic model.
So let me get this straight. It's not about little green men. It's about protecting a monopoly.
Yep.
Releasing free energy makes the entire oil and debt system completely obsolete. The people who control the energy control the world, and this technology democratizes that energy.
Precisely. It threatens the legacy power structures at their very root, which is why, according to the report, it was violently kept classified. The briefing points to a very dark reality behind this secrecy. It cites a string of missing or deceased scientists linked to research facilities like Los Alamos since 2022.
Wow.
The suppression of this technology was treated as a matter of absolute national security.
Okay, but if you have this new quantum tech, you need a global transmission infrastructure to support it, right?
You do.
Current cell towers and fiber optics aren't going to cut it. And according to the report, that infrastructure isn't being built on the ground. It's being built in the sky.
Right. The atmospheric engineering.
Yeah. Let's look at the AROMA project.
So the documents detail how satellites, specifically Tempo and GOES-19, are being utilized for something called aerosol optical depth monitoring.
Okay, let's give a quick definition for that because it sounds super technical.
Sure.
Think of aerosol optical depth as essentially measuring how thick the air is with suspended particles. It's a way to map out exactly what is floating in the atmosphere at any given altitude.
That is exactly the right way to frame it. So the report claims these satellites are mapping the atmosphere to strategically disperse heavy metal payloads.
Heavy metals in the air.
Yes, specifically graphene and barium.
Yeah.
But the goal isn't weather manipulation in the traditional sense.
Okay.
The mechanism described is using graphene to create a conductive lattice. If you scatter tiny, highly conductive particles and keep them suspended in the jet stream, you essentially turn the atmosphere itself into a giant circuit board.
Wow.
Yeah, a grid capable of handling the high-frequency transmissions required by a quantum system.
They even draw a historical parallel in the report to Operation Popeye.
Right.
Which was a declassified CIA weather modification program used during the Vietnam War to extend the monsoon season. So the precedent for the military altering the atmosphere, it's already on the public record.
It is. So when you assemble these pieces, a quantum ledger, reverse engineered physics, an atmospheric conductive grid, you realize this isn't just an upgrade to the existing system.
No.
It's a total replacement.
And if you are replacing the entire operating system of the planet, the old guard, the people who ran the scarcity model, they have to be removed.
Right.
The report outlines what it explicitly calls a real-time controlled demolition of the dark state.
And the timeline provided for this demolition is striking. They track four major institutional pillars being dismantled in just 4 days.
It is incredibly systematic.
Yeah.
Day one, you have the withdrawal from the World Health Organization, effectively ending centralized medical control.
Okay.
Day two, the 162 UFO files drop, shattering the legacy of information control.
Right.
Day three, the Hormuz blockade enforcement ramps up, breaking the old monopoly on energy control. And then day four, a massive three-day Russia-Ukraine ceasefire occurs, with 1,000 prisoners returning home, which disrupts the endless war machine.
Well, and beyond those external events, the report tracks internal institutional shifts within the U.S. government, too.
Like what?
For instance, the new Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, is actively dissolving USA.
Okay, dissolving it completely.
Yeah. Now, publicly, USAID is an international development organization. But the briefing characterizes it as a legacy outreach and funding arm for the CIA, used to quietly influence foreign governments.
I see.
So by dissolving it, you essentially cut off that covert financial flow.
Concurrently, we are seeing a massive shift in intelligence gathering. The Office of the Director of National Intelligence, the ODNI, is reported to be taking over the president's daily brief from the CIA.
Right, the PDB.
Yeah. For our listeners who might not follow the alphabet soup of Washington, the CIA used to be the primary voice telling the president what was happening in the world.
They controlled the narrative.
Exactly. And the ODNI was created later to oversee all 18 intelligence agencies. The report says the ODNI is now aggressively fact-checking the CIA's analysis, essentially stripping them of their monopoly on the narrative.
It is a massive restructuring of authority. To use a corporate analogy, instead of just firing a corrupt CEO, they are systematically dissolving the entire HR and accounting departments.
Yeah.
They are removing the infrastructure, so the old board of directors literally has no levers left to pull.
And the report actually names names regarding who that old board of directors is. They specifically target what they call the 13 family bloodlines.
Right.
Identifying groups like the Khazarian Mafia, the Rothschilds, and the Rockefellers. The argument is that sweeping executive orders and these new quantum financial rails are actively severing their generational control over global wealth.
And, you know, we need to emphasize that these are highly politically charged claims.
Yeah.
We're just conveying the specific viewpoint of this intelligence briefing.
Absolutely.
But the narrative is clear. The old global system relied entirely on generational concealment, and that concealment is rapidly eroding. The old guard is panicking.
The report points to a very specific meeting to illustrate that panic. They highlight a recent meeting between former President Obama and Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney.
Right. This is interesting.
The briefing suggests this is the deep state attempting to maintain its legacy networks across borders and argues it could be a violation of the Logan Act.
Which is a fascinating legal angle to take.
Right. For our listeners who aren't constitutional scholars, the Logan Act is a law from 1799 that essentially makes it illegal for unauthorized private citizens to negotiate with foreign governments on behalf of the U.S.
Right.
So by meeting with Carney, the report implies Obama is essentially trying to run a shadow State Department to keep the old power structures breathing.
And that really brings us full circle to the pressure cooker.
Yeah.
All of these desperate maneuvers, the hoarding of aluminum, the frantic diplomatic meetings, the suppression of technology, they are the actions of a system that realizes the pressure has exceeded its structural capacity.
Yeah.
The system isn't breaking into open, chaotic collapse. It is experiencing intense, managed compression. The old structures are being squeezed out to make room for the new.
We have covered a massive amount of ground today. I mean, we started with the physical flow of ships facing a gauntlet of missiles in the Strait of Hormuz. We tracked the silent flow of sovereign gold emptying out of Western vaults to back a quantum ledger. We ventured into the disclosure of hidden technologies that could rewrite the laws of physics, and we looked at the real-time institutional restructuring of global power.
And through all of it, the common denominator is that transition from scarcity to potential abundance. And navigating that requires a very specific mindset.
Which brings us to the core message of the Great Awakening Report. They refer to this specific moment as a call to patriots.
Right.
The mission right now isn't to get swept up in the outrage of the day or the fear generated by mainstream headlines. The mission is to practice discernment and patience. What appears to be absolute chaos on the surface is actually strategic compression.
The report asks its readers to stand firm, to reject the surface-level deceptions, and to consciously choose clarity over fear as these global systems are dismantled and rebuilt.
Right.
It is a reminder to stay steady when the pressure is at its absolute highest.
We want to wrap up by extending a huge thank you to all the subscribers for joining us on this audio review. It is a privilege to dig into these dense, complex threads with you.
It really is.
But before we go, we want to leave you with a final thought to mull over on your own. We talked a lot today about suppressed technology, unlimited free energy, quantum systems potentially coming online in the very near future.
Yeah.
If that is true, and these technologies are seamlessly integrated into our daily lives, how will you redefine the value of your own time and your own labor when the fundamental cost of living drops to near zero?
It changes the entire paradigm of what it means to be human in a modern society. I mean, if you don't have to spend 40 hours a week just to survive, who do you become?
It is the ultimate question. So remember that pressure cooker. Let the steam out slowly. Practice discernment. Stay steady. And we will catch you on the next deep dive.